podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome along to my mate Sports Toaster. Oh my goodness, this is so brilliant. If I look at my diary today, it just says one thing: 11 o'clock, Annika Rice. Get in! Get in!
Tom, you charmer.
Oh, it's so cool. I'm almost taken a screen grab of it just to keep.
Oh, shut up.
It's so wonderful. I'm so thrilled that you're here. Thank you so much for coming on, Annika.
Well, I'm surprised your wife isn't by your side, or perhaps she is, because the last time we met, she was like your umbilical cord. I was worried you could actually function without her.
She's sitting here right now.
Oh, good. Hi.
What shall I say now?
That's awkward.
What shall I say? Awkward. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the podcast, Annika Rice. Yeah, what do I do next? No, I mean, so listen, let me just give some more context before I sound like some terrible beta male, which, to be fair, I really am. The reason she came up in conversation last time is because you came on my panel show on Radio Wales and slagged off the Welsh choir that you used to be the president of.
Well, can I just say, I didn't slag them off.
Well,
they've slagged me off.
They did,
they've cancelled me.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's cancelled me. I'm just dead to them.
To be honest, Annika, it's quite trendy getting cancelled. It's quite in.
I know. So. That's what my son said. Mm. They said, it's hilarious, Mum. Just get over it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
but
great.
I've been harbouring a grudge for a decade, really, but I'm now over it. It's almost like I've had therapy doing your show.
Thank you. Well, that's what I'm here for. That's exactly what I'm here for. Well, so we talked about that on the panel show, but also we talked about wild swimming, and I mentioned the fact my wife does wild swimming, and you got very cross about that. But save the anger, Annika, okay, before you start. Because
I'm sounding like quite an angry person. There's two things in a row I've actually been quite angry about. I'm actually very mild. You've just caught me in a feisty mood, Tom.
You're very easily triggered by choirs and swimming. That's all.
Yeah, they're my only two triggers in life. My therapist says never talk about choirs or swimming. And here we are.
By your therapist, you mean me, right? Because that's what I've become now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, look. Here we go. We're going back into the wilds of your distant past, Annika. 2011, in fact, is when we're going back to. That's some of the earliest purchases that we've got here. Dangerously wacky. You know, we're opening up here, and this is a good insight into the real Annika Rice straight away. £3.20 on the 15th of November 2011 on a fart whistle.
I am the mother of three sons. Is all I'll say to that. And also auntie to two nephews. And I just know that the way to a boy's heart is through a fart whistle. And you know, actually, it's weird I'm even saying that four-letter word because I really hate that word. It's not a word. It's only because there's whistle after it that it's sort of diluted it. I find it quite an offensive word.
Yes.
But I like the sound it makes on a whistle. I find that hilarious.
I couldn't agree more. I don't like the word fart
no,
as well.
No, don't. Let's not say it anymore because I feel we've gone into an area. I'm going to add it to choirs and wild swimming. Is my third.
It's so true.
Thing to discuss.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We're making.
Are you writing it? Should I get some sort of personal assistant in to take notes?
Well, my personal assistant is my wife, so she's here taking the notes.
But she's there anyway.
No, it's so true.
We're
angering Annika Rice today. That's what the podcast is all about. But I've always said that, and so we say in our house.
Yeah.
When my children, because I've got two boys. And bottom burp is what I've gone for. Is that still gross?
That's still gross. Mm. I would just say, just don't do it. we have a dressing up box, which is, I'm a very sporty person, as you know, and I'm also quite a blokey girl. So I get up in the morning and I put on dungarees, grab a, you know, drill and put up some shelves. My children, when they were small, would put on a fairy outfit, throw open the dressing up box and do something, you know, because I was so blokey, I didn't want to sort of put my sort of stamp on anything. So I just, that dressing up box was full of boy things and girl things and everyone could just take their pick. On the whole, anything involving dressing up was on the girl spectrum, but where the boy bit came out was that whistle.
It's a genius thing. It's a genius thing.
So it's a mixture. You'd be in a fairy outfit, but then you'd have the whistle, which would So somewhere in the middle they met and in that spectrum.
I love this because way ahead of, you know, this is probably a while back, but already, you know, who cares about gender roles? Who cares about gender stuff? Let's just get on. If you want to dress up, absolutely fine. Quite right too.
No, my my second son called himself Nicola Wendy for an entire year.
See?
And he even enrolled at nursery school. I said, do you mind just popping Nicola Wendy on his coat peg? Because that's what he is at the moment. Okay, go with it. Thank you very much.
That's adorable.
And then my youngest son had a Barbie nutcracker party when he was three, I think. And everyone, boys and girls in his class, came in pink.
Yes.
And because he was very charismatic, they just went with it. They loved it. Everyone loves a bit of dressing up. And pink's apparently quite a nice colour, though I've never worn anything pink in my entire life. But there was one little boy who arrived from another school, didn't get the memo, walked into this pink confection and freaked out.
What am I doing here? It's so nice to hear that because, you know, you just take a kind of... With kids at that age, certainly, you just sort of let them find their own thing.
I think so.
Of course. And
definitely.
For all that we've done that with them, with our kids, like there's lots of dressing up and there is no imposition of any kind of gender stuff, whatever. And yet, my boys are the most boy-y boys. It's football and cars and racing and, you know, all those things. And I really wanted to have nice, rounded, sensitive, you know, almost just gender neutral children, but they're just boys.
I would say mine are very not like that, which is, I'm quite relieved about, because
well done.
Though I'm such a tomboy, I don't actually want to be surrounded by other tomboys.
Who knew that a fart whistle could get us onto a conversation about gender? I mean,
I know, but also there's a lot of talk about it now, you know, and I just think, gosh, you know, 30 years ago, I was just on it.
Yes.
I was just all over it because I just felt anyway that that was nice. Why you don't want to condition, force the, you know, those sort of I was always a bit nervous of that sort of dad thing of come on my boy and toss the child in the air and took them to the pub under one arm and chuck them onto the rugby pitch. That was just terrifying to me.
Good. I like also the idea of getting a fart whistle. If they love it, presumably that's just like, instead of a dog whistle, that's what you use to get them. If you want to call them down for dinner, just blow that.
Well, I don't know what we used it for. But anyway, what was also nice is that from a very young age, you talk about nurture or nature, but from a very young age, they loved anything involving making films or plays or putting on performances or whatever.
Fantastic.
And so while they were dressed as fairies or in a very tight mini dress with a Madonna wig on and her breasts, because we had a sort of conical fake Madonna breast thing.
Yeah.
So picture them dressed as that while making some explosive device in the garden in a bucket.
the best of all possible worlds. What a childhood you gave them.
I think I was an amazing mother.
You still are, Annika, first of all, but do you ever feel like as a sort of producer, like, you know, the production you put on for them, when we've done a good weekend with the kids and they've done all sorts of good things, I feel like we've just put on a mini Edinburgh show for them.
My poor kids, because I just didn't want anything like a PlayStation in the house, so there was never anything techie in the house at all. Nothing. There's no games.
No.
So yes, they and now they actually thank me for that, because it did make them just endlessly read books and you know, create things for themselves, and because as when I was a child, that was so key to my childhood, that thing of creating your own entertainment and being very independent with your needs and time.
Yes.
I think that's quite a good lesson to teach children, so you're not dependent on some outer stimulus all the time, apart from a whistle.
Of course, apart from the fart whistle. Yeah. Dinner time! It's genius. It's genius. I can see there's dressing up going on here. Look at this, 15th of November 2011. Actually, on the same day you bought the fart whistle. Sorry for saying fart, said it again. The Flair Hair original visor, a black visor with brown hair. I could do with one of those.
Yeah, I've no idea. See, I just wanted to place this dressing up box, just had something for everyone in it.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, there would be some children who came around who didn't particularly want to put on one of my old Challenge Annika jumpsuits and a Madonna bra.
What is wrong with those kids?
They had the option of a more manly hairstyle.
Okay.
And some dungarees or something.
Yeah.
So there's something for everyone in that box. We've still got the box and it's still comes into its own. I have to say it's very much, you know, part of everyone's lives, even now, all these years later.
The dressing up box is still, even though your kids are a bit older now, it's
a bit older, but we still go back into it whenever there's, you know, there's so many opportunities to put on a Madonna conical bra. I can't tell you.
You just don't realise. We're all living our lives missing these opportunities to missing put on them. A Madonna conical bra.
You're just so missing it, is all I can say.
Hang on, what are you saying? If there was some sort of dinner party, Shay Rice.
Yeah.
After a few drinks, would you be like, oh, come on. How would it work?
Doesn't work with adults. The only time it's ever worked with an adult is when I was filming an edition of Come Dine With Me. Are you familiar with this programme?
Of course, yes. Yeah. What a format.
And all I can say, at about 1 a.m, it got quite ugly when Roland Riveron found my jumpsuit collection, put one on, and actually the police were called because he was running up and down the street outside in my jumpsuit shouting, stop the clock. And the next door neighbours, whose child had a GCSE German exam the following morning, called the police. And I don't blame her. I'd have done the same. I had no idea he was doing this. We were carrying on chatting. And meanwhile, Roland was just off on one in my jumpsuit.
Oh, Roland Riveron, as if I didn't already love him enough. What a human. So was that outside your house that he did that?
Yeah, up and down the street.
Did you have to apologise to the neighbours for Roland Riveron?
Endlessly. I mean, I'm still almost doing it to this day because I feel I changed the outcome of that poor girl's German GCSE.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Imagine if that poor girl was planning on, you know, doing German at university she might have spent a year in Berlin and met the love of her life. Roland Riveron has just shut that whole thing down.
Yeah. Luckily, she's now sort of, you know, prancing around with Ramesh Ranganathan, I think, somewhere or other. So it's all fine.
Oh, wow.
She didn't go down the German route.
Oh, fine. Okay. Double R's. It's all about the comedians with double R's. Okay. All right. Listen, 2014, September 2014. Now, this is good. This is a big part of your life, Annika, which people may not know so much about. We've got some golden fluid acrylic paint. Gone for teal, a little bit of teal and a little bit of red. Tell us why you're buying the papers.
Well, when I was going through my account, I would say 90% of the items were paint in various guises or dye, mostly colour blue of all different shades under the sun. I'm obsessed with, well, I paint anyway. So I another side of my life is I paint. Paintings, you know.
You went to art school, didn't you?
I went to art school and that's what I do. But I also, in the same way that other people might wake up and fantasize about going to the pub and having a pint, I just wake up planning what I'm going to transform that day. I am an upcycler I would say I'm going to add it to my therapy list, Tom.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, okay.
Because it is a problem. Because, I mean, yesterday, yep, I painted a breadboard blue and a coal scuttle. I've painted the flagstones in the garden.
Has everything disappeared? Because
everything's blue. I've painted the bathroom blind. My whole room got painted the other day. Did you know you can just go over bathroom tiles, completely change, you know, the whole mood? And I have a downstairs loo, which is like my mood board. So, you know, when kids, family come around, friends, they can't wait to have a pee just to see where we are at the moment.
Ah, that's amazing.
As they sit and have a pee. Because it might be a restful blue, could be an angry orange.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But then I didn't stop there. During lockdown, I discovered leather dye and started anything that was leather. I did a whole poof.
Oh.
Have you not ever done
anything? No, I feel like I'm missing out now. But okay, here's my question. Do you not get the who is it? Was it King Alexander or Alexandria when he stood on the edge of the land and realized he had no more to conquer? Is there not a moment when you're like, oh, I've done everything. I've got nothing else to do. No. There's always something, is there?
There's always something else to do. There's always something else to do. The loose covers of my sofa went in the other day. The thrill is what you buy. Is you buy a little pot, little canister that you place in the washing machine with your said item.
Uh-huh.
And you do it on a wash cycle. And I sit and watch it like going to the cinema. as I even dyed a hammock. Anything.
I just love it. Sitting by a washing machine watching some leather.
Don't you think there's a TV format here where I could go around and just make someone's house a completely different colour, whether they liked it or not? I have always been, and the colour things, really important to me. I'm always painting rooms. I never get a decorator, and I paint myself, and I really enjoy it. It's not like a chore to me. It's just that moment where you dip your brush into that colour and then do your first stripe. To me, I've never taken LSD. Don't need to.
No. And have you always been like this? Were you like this as a kid? That kind of because we know you as being full of energy. Yeah. But to hear you doing this, you're like, oh, that's the real thing. This is the real deal. This isn't someone who just comes alive when the camera's on. This is someone who's
someone who paints a lot. And even as a child, my diaries, because I wrote a diary every year from about the age of 8, even on my birthday, all my friends bought round blue presents, which I wouldn't have remembered or known about if I hadn't sort of kept the diary. But the sweetest thing is when my dad, who had very bad dementia in his, very much later years, late 80s, sort of Alzheimer's, and the way I communicated with him was very gently sort of easing into his world, which was like being on a major sort of, again, LSD trip, frankly, because there was always a sort of spy sitting in a chair or something. But one way we could really communicate was I'd take along my swatches, my Dulux trade swatches of colour.
Yeah.
And we'd go through all the colours going, would you like a tie in that colour, Dad?
Oh.
Or that would make a nice jumper. And we'd just hours pointing at colours, working out things. And it was just a lovely way for us to communicate. Yes. And then one day I said to him, Dad, do you know what my name is? And he looked at me for a long time and then went, Dulux.
Oh.
So I'm now known as Dulux in my family.
Yes.
So it's bittersweet because it was very sweet. And to my mind, being able to communicate through colour and paint, which is so much part of me, was sort of brought it full circle.
Yeah, it's just the most important language, and we're surrounded by it all the time, and we forget.
Yeah. Are you a colour person, Tom?
No, I don't feel I am particularly. I just feel like a bit of a... Like there's part of me that I haven't really switched on. I'm not very arty, Annika. I've never been
good. You're a bit beige in your eyes.
I think. Do you know what? I'm a bit more grey or sort of gunmetal blue that sort of deep.
I'm disappointed.
Yes, I know. I know. I feel bad. I've never been any good at art. I've never been able to draw.
Can I just say, I don't think this has got anything to do with being good in art. It's just that colour is such a transformative thing. It can just make you feel so happy.
Yes. Yeah. No.
Colour me happy.
I think I do wear a lot of red.
That's good.
I like red because of Wales and Liverpool. So I've a lot of my clothes are red. So, and I like that colour. Maybe there you go. Maybe I'm developing an opinion on colour as we speak. I like red.
What colour are your sitting room walls? She said quite hesitantly.
So, I have no idea. Literally no idea. No, white. White. We did a white thing when we moved back in just so we could cover up all the disaster of the kids. I think we'll change it up when the kids get a bit older. But it's an interesting thing. My kids are 5 and 8, and the number of times I've had this conversation in the last couple of years, because they are both really tuned into art, is, Daddy, what's your favourite colour? Mine is green. Kids, one of the first topics kids bring up. What is your favourite colour?
Mm.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's all bring that back into our lives. Next time you're sitting down at a dinner party dressed up as Madonna, start asking
what your favourite
colour is.
Yep. When I have a dinner party, saying that to your audience.
I was telling my audience that. Right. I was telling my audience that, but also I'm enjoying you leaping in to defend yourself, and I'll cut that out. So we're just going to create the lie through the edit that you are constantly dressed up as Madonna with the conical bra. Okay, look, we're moving on, Annika Rice, into late 2014 now, September 2014. The piano specimen sight reading test. This is grade 6 and grade 7. For sight reading, is this something that's part of your life, music?
Well, my kids, I didn't have any luck, with my kids doing sporty things I like to do, like tennis or whatever. So, but they did tune into piano a lot, and I was very musical as a child and sang in the choir and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And so, piano was something, you know, I did with them, and that was quite an enjoyment thing. But I hadn't played myself since I was 11.
Okay.
But I had sort of helped them with their, you know, sight reading or whatever. And then there came a moment, and why I gave up when I was 11, which I think is why a lot of kids stop the piano, is it's very intimate being in those tiny little piano cells with the teacher that you feel uncomfortable with. Do you remember that,
Oh,
Tom?
My God. I can't say his name, but I had a teacher.
Yeah.
Good God, Annika Rice, you've really put your finger on something there.
Yeah.
And I've never quite expressed it like that. And he used to sit next to me, and I couldn't. He made my skin crawl. Yeah. He had an incredibly hairy nostrils, and he used to take, he had loads of, and to this day, Annika, I gave up when I was 11. I played, got lessons from him between the age of 7 and 11, and he used to take all his rings off before he started playing, and he put these bits of metal at the end of the piano. Mm. I don't have any jewel, I don't have any wedding ring on, I don't have a watch. I cannot stand metal on hands and fingers, and it's all because that man made my skin crawl because of the intimacy.
Well, I had a piano teacher who just loved me so desperately, and when I had my foot on the hard pedal, she'd put her foot on top of mine, and then she'd play a waltz and want me to dance around the room. Honestly, the whole thing, and I just I couldn't carry on, which I've, you know, as an adult, all those things you regret. You think, oh, why did I give that up? Anyway, I had a situation quite recently when I was approached by this amazing concert pianist called Lucy Parnham, who every year puts on a sort of Christmas recital at King's Place in North London in front of, you know, hundreds of people. And for some reason, she'd heard I played the piano, though obviously I don't. Oh. And she said, would you like to contribute? And I said, yes.
Oh, my goodness. What are you thinking? What were you thinking? That's
because it was Christmas. And when she talked to me, it was March. And I thought, I've got 6 months to learn a piece. And as you know, I like Jeopardy. And I like a challenge.
You like to be challenged. There you go.
I really do, though, because I really respond to that terror. Yeah. And I started slowly, slowly, slowly. I'd get up at 5 in the morning, so no kids. No one ever heard me play because I was traumatised. I couldn't. My hands were like, my fingers were like great fat bananas. You know, it wasn't working as a system at all. It took me. I couldn't do it.
Well, because when you played a piano when you were small, the piano hasn't changed size, but your fingers have. So it's true, you're going to feel.
But also, that was a long time ago, and it was only up to sort of grade 11, and this was much more advanced, and the whole thing, you know, it was very difficult. Anyway, I was too embarrassed to even go to a teacher because it flooded back all the feelings of humiliation and inadequacy, until at last it got to about November, and I was really panicking because I just couldn't move it forward at all. You know, I'd got to a certain point, I'd learnt it, but I couldn't play it in a beautiful way like it sounded when I put it on YouTube. So in the end, I plucked up courage and I rang up my son's piano teacher and said, could I just come and play this to you, and just could you help me? She said, of course, you know, you've left it quite late, but come along. Anyway, I went along and played. I crashed my way through this piece. And at the end, she just wrote one word on the top of my sheet music, which was Enderil. And I thought, oh, what does that mean? More slowly, more quickly? And she said, no, it's the name of some beta blockers. You are going to need a fistful of these to get you through.
I love that so much.
I know.
Is that Italian for gently? No, no. Is there no more? I want. Is there no more?
If you love me, really, baby, don't walk out that back door. My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
All right, let's crack on now, Annika. We're going into 2015 now, 1st of March. The Pro Deck Painters, Decorators, Whitework B bib and brace overalls, lovely white overalls there. I assume you've dyed those blue.
Well, they are blue now because they're covered in blue paint. same thing.
Okay, good. Yeah. It just looks like there's been some awful accident with many Smurfs. Also, on the 4th of March 2015, look at this. It's £37 on two pairs of swimming goggles. The iSwim Pro swimming goggles with anti-fog technology. Why would you not?
Well, I swim more. I live by the sea. So
where are you, please? Whereabouts?
In the Isle of Wight.
Aha. Okay.
Yeah, and I swim. I managed to swim last year, right up till the 1st of December in the sea without. It was fine even without a wetsuit. And then, unfortunately, the circuit was broken because I went back to London until. You know, after Christmas till Boxing Day. So I had to sort of suddenly 3 weeks in London.
Right.
And I broke the circuit of feeling that the sea wasn't going to kill me because it's very cold in the winter. So the goggles I buy anyway, because I swim with my head down, crawl. But I then bought, you'll see on my Amazon thing, there's no end of sort of wetsuits coming and going with me trying them out, sending them back, trying another one. So not trying them out in the sea, I have to say.
Just in case anyone's listening. Yeah.
To see if I can get them on. Have you ever tried to get a wetsuit on?
I haven't. I put a wetsuit on. I did a surfing video in New Zealand a couple of years ago.
What?
Mad, isn't it? Weird.
God,
Don't ask. And
why?
Well, because I was out there doing some work for my radio station that I work on, and I had to go and do some kind of adverts for New Zealand, so they made me do loads of lovely things. It was one of the greatest trips of my life, Annika. Every now and again, a jolly comes along.
I went there once for 24 hours. I loved it.
24 hours?
Yeah.
It's a long way to go for only 24
hours. I once went to Australia twice in a week. I mean, literally. I flew to Sydney on Monday, did the job, flew back, and then had to do another job in London on Thursday, and then flew back to Adelaide on Saturday.
No. When was that?
Well, I was, when my career was at its peak of peakness, I was just so bloody busy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane. It was just an insane schedule. So New Zealand, I would love to return to, because everywhere I've been has just been a whirlwind. I remember going to Rotorua to the...
Yes.
You know where it
stinks. It does smell. It smells awful. Rotorua. Yeah. My clothes smelt of Rotorua for the week after. Everything in my suitcase stank.
Yeah, it's a weird scene there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's built on basically a crack... And in fact, all of New Zealand's on a kind of what's it called? Where the two different continents
shelves,
something like that. Anyway, it's all built on a. It's very
fret. Oh no, it's a fault.
Fault. Thank you.
Fault.
Yeah, 5 points, Gryffindor. It's all built on a big fault line, and there's bits of New Zealand where that opens up, and Rotorua is one of them. And it's they've got all these huge vents. These geysers. There you go.
Geysers.
Yes, I knew there was a word there. The geysers.
We're all over this. We should do some sort of geography program.
We are so good. Where we just shout words we remember.
Floodplain.
Floodplain. they basically, the geysers are like filthy kettles, just steam that stinks of sodium coming out the whole time. Sulfur.
Yeah.
Absolutely reeks.
Well, if this was our last bit of chat, you'd link it back nicely to the first item, wouldn't you?
Basically, nature's fart whistle.
Don't say that word. We're not doing the word.
I'm so sorry, but you teed me up.
My matey potato.
Let's have a look at 2016, Annika.
Gosh, what are we going to have?
I mean, look, it's
exhausting.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Well, therapy is.
Yeah.
Therapy is exhausting. You know, we're finding out a lot about you, and hopefully you're finding out huge amounts about you as well.
Yeah.
Actually, this is all confirming what we've already found out. Look, we've got the Chopin ballads.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, that was when I bought the music and I got the stool, as they say.
Very nice. we've got a wash and dye powder. This is the blue jeans. Bahama blue. You're absolutely right. Look at this.
Yeah.
All the blues. All of the blues. This is good. Look, £34 on the 14th of October 2016 on a 66 Fit. I don't know what that really means. Mini trampoline, a 37-inch exercise aerobic fitness bounce rebounder. Oh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love my rebounder.
Do you still use it?
I'd used it before I did this interview.
No way. Okay.
I think it is the best. You know how you go through life trying out lots of different things?
Of course.
But as an exercise thing. And I have a lot of energy. And so I really enjoy exercise. It's never a chore. You know, for most people, keeping fit would be hideous. But I quite enjoy it for some reason. Anyway, this little trampoline. And a personal trainer, not that I've ever had one myself, but a friend, you know, who was one, gave me this tip. And I do it sort of two or three times a week. And I just feel it really keeps me fit. And it involves high interval training on the mini trampoline.
So what do you actually do then? I'm just sort of picturing, all I've got in my head is you now wearing something blue in your blue garden with the blue slabs underneath blue. You. Jumping up and down, but there's more to it than that, I suppose.
Well, not a lot.
Oh, right, okay.
that sums up, honestly. Do you literally want to hear what
yes,
I
please.
Do?
Yes, please. Okay. We're all about the detail on this podcast.
Okay. Yeah. We do 30 seconds running on the spot so fast that you judder, you can barely breathe after 30 seconds. You've got to really force yourself. Yeah. And then you have a minute off completely. Great. So your heart rate goes down, then you do 30 seconds again incredibly fast, then a minute off, and you just keep doing that, 30 seconds on, a minute off, 30 seconds on, a minute off, until 11 minutes has passed on your timer. Done.
And that's it.
And the best thing this personal trainer said to me is you shouldn't even do this more than two times a week, which has to be music to your ears.
Oh,
that 11 minutes a couple of times a week is a pretty good way of keeping that. And what it does, it keeps your cardio up, you know, because I always find it amazing that I can sort of run, I go for lots of runs and things. Mm. And I always think, I don't know how I can do that really, because it's not like I run enough to, but it's because I do this interval training.
It is all about your heart speeding up and slowing down, isn't it?
Yeah, this is Paris, the new thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I think, I'm sorry to say this, Anna, but I think it's called something like, do you know what this is called? It's a Nordic thing. Interval training is called, it's called fart training.
Shut up. No, he's gone. It's gone too far.
No, I promise you. I'm so sorry. It's called fartlek training.
This again is a very good time to wind up the interview. There's so many outs for you to choose for this interview.
I mean,
you could leave me at any point.
You are you're a dream interviewee. You really are.
Yeah, I'm just.
You're giving me all these outs. It's called fartlek training, but it is true. It's all about the bit, because I go running and I can run for, you know, an hour and feel great and do 10K and feel great. But as soon as you get me playing football, when I've got to speed up and slow down, I am so unfit.
Well, the thing is, I always think it's such a shame we lose that childlike wonder. Mm. And, you know, I love being around tiny, you know, small children, toddlers, right? And I love their energy and their enthusiasm and their just their joie de vivre, you know. And we have to find that as adults. And if you watch a child, they'll go, oh, I wonder what's at the top of that hill, and run all the way up and then stop and get distracted by a daisy. And then they'll go, I'll race you to the top of that tree. And again, there's a spurt of energy, and it's all that, you know, stop, start. And I think as an adult that provokes your, you know, what's the word, encourages your growth hormone, apparently.
Mm.
So it's good for you, you know. It's just trying to sort of get in touch with the inner child, Tom.
Oh, it's basically what we want to do. Am I okay to send my kids down to the Isle of Wight to you for a couple of weeks?
Oh, do! Yeah.
Just your whole approach.
We could do a bit of fun and running, and we could do a bit of painting.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. It's all there, dressing up. And crucially, getting them in front of the books. And here we are, 15th of October. You have bought I've got one of these, and I love it so much. A 4-LED book light.
Oh, well, that was very funny. That wasn't for what you imagined.
Oh, I love snuggling up with the book light. Okay, come on, what have you got it
but
for?
But I actually bought it because I was working on... Oh, God. Oh, I've never told this story because it does make me look a very mind you, I've never told any of the stories. I'm just mortified by this whole interview so far. Anyway.
Yes, please. It's going very well.
So I bought this because I was working on a painting exhibition called Exposure, which was it was about the exposure people feel as entertainers and the exposure I felt being judged painting them. It was deep, Tom, I think you'll find. So, for example, I'd go into Central School of Ballet and sit in rehearsal rooms and paint during rehearsals and then have to suffer the, you know, what is mortifying for someone like me, basically quite shy, for people to come up and say, can we see what you've done? And then go, oh. Anyway, the whole thing was about confronting that two-way relationship between artist and performer. Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to do was paint live during a theatre performance. And the Kinks musical, Sunny Afternoon, was on in the West End. And I asked the company manager if there was a quiet matinee, if I could take all my paints along, put down dust sheets and paint in the box, you know, while the performance was going on, and create some very spontaneous paintings live.
Yeah.
So it's like a live performance for me as a painter.
Incredible.
Anyway, I went along, set it all up. Company manager came in and said, you're right there, Annika. This is so exciting. We'll all come along at the interval and see how you've done. And I set it all up and I was thrilled. You know, the audience looked, you know how beautiful theatres look for the lights. Mm. And of course, then what happened was the lights went down. Couldn't see a bloody thing. Couldn't even see my paintbrush.
So you just had to sit there.
I sat in the pitch black.
Did you not think that might happen? Did you not?
No.
Did nobody anticipate that?
No. Well, I was on my own. I didn't. I was more. So they came in the interval and I think I've already said something that was the most humiliating moment of my life. Perhaps it involved the piano. But this, I think, is a close second. So the...
Did you have a blank canvas? Had you done anything?
Blank. I couldn't see. I couldn't even... You know, you're in darkness, aren't you, in the theatre? That's the whole point. You're in darkness. Yeah. The stage is lit up. So I then had to say, don't. Can we just not discuss this? Can I just walk out now and come back in a couple of weeks when I've got some lighting organised, which was when I bought the miner's helmet light, went back and produced some very nice work. But
fine, okay.
That first one, oh my God, how mortifying.
That is, I mean, it's very important for an artist to understand light.
Yeah, I know.
I love that. I love that audience members just sitting there going, who's that seeing in the darkness with a canvas? That's just Annika Rice. Okay.
But it was the way I, you know, went, oh, I've got the, you know, I put the dust sheets down. I just took over this whole box and made it my little studio. Loved all the paints.
Do you do this? Is this a regular theme in your life? Obviously, it's only one story, so I don't want to construe too much. But I find I'm very childish. I have a very childlike energy, shall we say. I'm very bouncy. I'm very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And it often means that I don't quite think things through. And I've had innumerable LED light type moments like this. Is this a common thread for you, or is this unusual?
No.
Are you usually pretty much in control?
I would say I haven't been caught out in quite such an utterly ridiculous way before. And on the whole, I find my spontaneity has led to interesting things. I think, you know, it's really good to be spontaneous in life, because it's like that's, again, which is what I say to the kids or anyone who ever asked, bothered to listen, is, you know, life is like those sliding door moments, and you've just got to trust fate and just, you know, absolutely bluster forward and see where the adventure takes you.
Yes, yeah. Even if
it's really important,
pitch black theatre.
And do things that you can't do just to scare yourself. I've done that a lot.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah. It's
who knew that Amazon, I mean...
I know.
But you must admit, looking through my... Amazon history is quite boring because it is paint, dungarees, a bit more paint.
Annika,
oh, some more paint.
No, incorrect. It's absolutely not boring at all. 2nd of September 2019, you've bought some bovine hydrolyzed collagen protein powder. You've bought cow powder. So how could you possibly say this isn't interesting?
Oh, God, that was I got a very funny string of purchases around the time I did Strictly Come Dancing.
Aha,
talk about
yes.
terrifyingly doing something that you just shouldn't do, basically, because you literally can't dance. And I know everyone always says on Strictly, oh, I can't dance. And then, ping, they miraculously have their own tap shoes. I mean, what? Anyway, I found this the most extraordinary experience of my life. Honestly, it was really the most weird thing I've ever come across. But the bit I didn't expect was how broken I'd be. For someone who's very fit, oh my goodness. I think it depends on your partner, to be honest, because I think some partners do a lot of limbering up before you even start training, because you're sometimes training for 10 hours a day.
Oh,
and then there's a sort of lumber down afterwards. But we didn't. Kevin and I just had a sausage roll and went for it.
And
you
carried
know.
On. So then, is this why you bought the bovine powder to eat?
I bought anything. Kath Tilsley, who was like our sort of nanny, she kind of told us every day what we should be getting. So I've also got things to wrap around my back that were heated.
Yeah.
I've
oh,
got
yeah.
ice packs.
A heat pad. Yeah, you got a heat pad at £20. What's that? Curcumin Bioperine by LLS. Highest quality turmeric. Extra.
Turmeric's meant to be very good for inflammation and swelling.
Do you know what? I looked it up the other day because the turmeric thing, I was like, oh, is that one of those nonsense things? And cumin and all that stuff. And it is actually scientifically anti-inflammatory. That's actually true. It's not one of those nonsense ones. It works.
I mean, I was so broken, I'd limp back home and have to get into an ice cold bath, you know. And honestly, you know, I don't know whether. I've spoken to lots of people and they've also had quite a lot of injuries. I think on the whole, the experience is in theory so joyful.
Yes.
You forget things like that. It's like childbirth. You just forget
the action.
But I was in physio for 3 months afterwards because I had such bad whiplash on my neck. What,
from Strictly?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so because in the last dance I did when I was voted out, I had this terrible whiplash injury all through the week rehearsing these lifts I had to do and things. And then in rehearsals, it got, you know. But the thing is, adrenaline's an extraordinary thing, and you're so high on adrenaline, you don't actually realize how injured you are.
Yeah, you're throwing your body around. How many weeks did you do it for?
I'd like to say just enough, really. I did about, I had to
two.
Learn, no, I mean, all in all, because there's such a build up to it, and you have to do group dances. So I, you know, it felt like a good month of stuff, you know. Anyway, it was an experience, but that's why.
Because when you watch that show, most of the injuries happen to marriages, rather.
Yes. Well, no, there were masses of injuries. I mean, Jamie Lang injured his foot before we even, you know.
Yes, I remember, of course.
And so he didn't even make it. There Will Bailey, who has fused ankle bones anyway, was given a routine where he had to sort of jump from a table, which isn't necessarily the most sensible thing to do if you've got ankle issues, you know, quite fundamentally in Will's case. So he was in hospital in physio. You know, it's just, I think it's sort of part of it. But
and were they good afterwards when you were going to, you go for physio for whiplash? And whiplash is famously nasty as well.
Well, luckily, like the Strictly physio used to run a whiplash clinic, so he was all over it. Oh, no, they were, you know, they did, you know, they'd send a car to pick me up and take me to the clinic and back. But it was, it brings you down very low, because I've never really been badly injured in my life, considering all the lunatic stunts and things I've done, but it brings you very low, because I honestly wondered whether I'd ever recover, you know. I got quite depressed afterwards, but anyway, it's lucky.
What do you do when you have those low moments, because we all have those low moments with careers, and of course, you know, things like the Romanian orphans and stuff like that, how do you separate that professional life? And it's difficult when, especially when you've done Strictly and your body has taken the battering, it's difficult to sort of recharge, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it is difficult, isn't it? I mean, on some jobs, it's very easy. You were talking about Romania and Chana Janica. That was very difficult to separate, because I was so invested in these projects and have been for the last 30 years. You know, they're not a sort of quick fix program that you just go, Okay, lads, that was fun. Yeah. You know, they're big issues, big projects. And so I've stayed in touch with those people for 30 years, you know, so that's sort of part of my life's work, if you like. So some things you can just wave goodbye in a cheery way and think, God, that was mad. I mean, obviously, I'm going to take a lot from our chat today, Tom. You know, that's going to be one I think about for a very long time. It's not going to just be on to the next thing this afternoon.
Will that thought be, why did I agree to do this?
No, it's so nice to chat to you.
Well, ditto, absolutely ditto. And look, we're crashing into 2020 now, Annika. Okay, which, of course, the year of lockdown. And this is a year when we really see a lot of, you know, in Amazon veritas, I guess, during lockdown.
Yeah,
you see.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You see the truth about people. And look at this. Look at this. Smith. What? 15th of August 2020, a Smithies scrub nurse costume.
Oh, yes. Have you? Well, back to the dressing up box,
back
really.
To the dressing up again, aren't we?
One thing we didn't have in the dressing up box was a nurse outfit. And right. I'm not sure I could even tell you this story, but I just needed a young girl that I know to put on a nurse's outfit, and when various people arrived, to be there at the front door with a tray of pills. Okay, I'm not sorry.
What were the pills?
Anyway, that was irrelevant. They weren't for actual consumption. It was just the vibe.
Right, this is the oh, I want to go to an Annika party. It
wasn't even a party, really. I can't even tell you. It was more of a meeting, but. Anyway, she rose to the challenge. Her name's Georgie.
Right.
She's 15, and she looked great in the nurse's outfit. And when everyone arrived, she said, "It's very nice for you to come. How are you feeling? Would you like to sit here? Would you like a blanket?"
It wasn't a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, was it? Let's just make that clear.
I'm just not even gonna go there. Obviously, not a Narcotics Anonymous. That would just not
very mysterious. Very you think you can work out why Annika Rice had a 15-year-old girl dressed as a nurse on her doorstep, give us a tweet at ToasterPod. Let's see if some people can come up.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will get that one.
Okay, all right. Okay. Look at this, £250 on a wetsuit. You've got to go expensive for wetsuits. You've got to go expensive.
Never worn it. Sent it back.
No.
Because I realised I didn't like swimming in a wetsuit. I like the feeling of sea, you know, against my skin. That, to my mind, is swimming.
Oh,
so
really?
I don't do the wetsuit vibe.
So what do you make of the legions of dry robbers who are hitting various wild swimming places at the moment? Are you a bit of a are you a bit of a I was here first kind of vibes?
No, not at all. I think it's great because I really think swimming is such a glorious thing. I just sort of slightly get, you know, amused / slightly annoyed.
Here we go. Here
by
we go.
People
it's
calling
a trigger.
It
just triggering a
wild, wild swimming. It's going for a swim.
It's wild, but they're swimming in the wild like a whale or a dolphin. They're in the wild,
yes,
Annika.
Fair enough, I suppose. If you were in Alaska, I think honestly you could call that wild swimming. But if you're going for a swim in the sea, that's going for a swim. If you're going for a swim in the river, that's going for a swim.
All right. Here's a pitch. Annika Rice has to admit this is a TV series. We take you swimming until you finally admit this is wild swimming. So we just take
that would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We just take you around the world until you finally say, to be fair, as you're on the Cape Horn, whatever it's called. Yeah, this is wild. This is wild.
Exactly. But we just over, you know. Use adjectives a bit freely these days, I think. Everything's got a sort of name and a number and a title, whereas, you know, basically it's going for a swim, which is how it all started when we first met with your wife.
It is indeed.
She'd been for a wild swim.
She'd been for a wild swim and you were very angry about that.
Wild swim in her local pool.
Yeah. No, not at all. Actually, when we met, I was recording from Cornwall and she'd been for a wild swim at the Bude Lido. Which
that's a Lido.
No, but it goes
that's
out to the
wild.
Sea. But it goes out to the sea.
But it's a domestic swim. I mean, it's just a swim that people do. That's not wild. Wild has got to involve some sort of jeopardy.
You're listening to Anger Annika with me, Tom Price. It's a new series as well. June 2020, lots more paints. Here she is, Dulux, quick dry paint. Here we've got white, got more whites, lots of white. Seagrass as well, lovely colours there. Hiking shoes for women, which you returned July 2020. Those went back.
Oh.
So
perhaps, yeah, I don't know what, I don't know, I can't even remember that. Perhaps they just weren't quite right, because I do lots of walking, so they've got to feel the business, really. Mm.
You're so active, Annika. I mean, of course you are. Of course, this is.
I know. Do you know? I think I am, actually.
Mm.
I think I am. I think I've tried to pretend I'm not, but actually, I am. I'm like, well, like you were saying, you know, you feel you're quite a bouncy person. I'm very sort of like Tigger.
Yes. I'm a Labrador. Nice to meet you, Tigger.
Yeah.
Look at this. December 2020, heading into that weird Christmas that was lockdown Christmas. Smarty Pants personalised Star Baker apron. Is that a present?
Well, you know, I did Bake Off a few months ago. It went out in April, though I recorded it right in the middle of lockdown, you know, when they would be having to do very careful sort of COVID tests and bubbles and goodness knows what. And I only had a week, about 10 days notice that I was going to do the show. So the producers rang me on the Monday and said, we'd love you to take part in Bake Off, you know, for cancer. And it's one of my favorite shows. So I was like thrilled on one hand, and then on the other hand, terrified for reasons unexplained. But they rang that same day, that afternoon, to say, so what will your showstopper be? You know, I had no time to plan it, think it. Anyway, and it was particularly funny because we're in the throes of getting a new kitchen. And so the oven doesn't actually work. So I couldn't try anything out at all. So I had to just free fall into Bake Off. Anyway, it was hilarious. I just decided the only way to gain any favor was to paint a portrait of Paul that he would love.
Oh, well
and,
done.
And display it within my creation. So I did some shoe buns and put colors of paint on the top of each shoe bun in different colors and put them on a palette, artist palette. So there were blobs of paint on the artist's palette, and on an easel was this painting I'd done of Paul, and he absolutely loved it. I mean,
of course he did.
He absolutely loved it so much, and I just knew at that point I would be Star Baker. I just knew I'd clinched it in the first bake. But what I did also, which wasn't shown, which I don't know why, but I whipped off the painting at the end, and underneath there's Prue stark naked except for a pair of red glasses. And for some reason, that didn't hit the watershed sensibilities.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And both of them loved their painting so much and were talking about it all day and asked to take them home and everything. So I just knew I'd clinched it in that one thing. Nothing to do with my baking, which, you know, couldn't practice.
Yes.
Because I love Prue. I have fierce love for Prue. Yeah. And so when I whisked off Paul's painting and underneath there she was stark, as I just said, what goes on in the green room stays in the green room, Prue.
So has Prue got an Annika Rice?
She's got that, yeah. Didn't make
original.
The edit.
Didn't make the edit.
I know.
But you know what? Now we know it's there, we're all now picturing Prue Leith naked. So that's a great thing. Yeah.
I put it on my Instagram if you want to have a look.
Oh, yes, please do. That'd be great. Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah,
I'm sure Prue would appreciate that. And then 2021, as we get towards the end of this episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster, we can see, let's have a look at a couple of things. More paint. Yes. loving the paint. Touching the Void. That's a good TV. That's a good film, isn't it? Yeah.
God, it's so good, isn't it?
Tense. Yeah. Very tense, that. Yeah. Have a bit of tension. And then, look, here's one of the final things anyway, actually, from earlier on this year. During lockdown, the Tecto 6-inch professional hairdressing barber hair scissors. Yes.
Oh,
thank you. Gosh. Cutting your own hair? Cutting someone else's hair?
Cutting my own hair. Mm-hmm. Cutting my son's hair, which was so disappointing, but it's one of the most touching. I mean, I might even sob just recounting this story because he was so trusting. He was so trusting. You know, he's in his 30s. He said to me, out of everyone I know, I trust you the most to cut my hair because I think you'd research it and, you know, really be on it, which is true. I did research how to do the front and the sides. I didn't quite crack the back. And honestly, oh, dear, it looked great at the front, but at the back it was just awful. It was just this pudding bowl. It just didn't work at the back. And it's a thing that will, you know, really I still find very touching is that he didn't go, as a lot of people would, have hysterics and go, what the hell have you done? He just said, thanks, Mum. while his brothers were just laughing hysterically, he just went, "Thanks, Mum," in a kind way.
Oh, you've raised such good children.
They're so sweet. I mean,
surely that comes through. All the things we've talked about today, all the art and the creativity and the way that your kids have picked up on this as well. That's so nice. That's so good.
They were just so kind about my haircut.
Rubbish haircut.
And I just appreciate it because I did then feel awful for ages, but luckily it's all grown out now. So
well, that's the great thing about getting a haircut wrong. Yeah. It just grows out, you see.
It grows out.
Life
doesn't it?
Goes on. Nature
life
will heal.
Life grows out.
Yes.
Life moves on.
Yes, you see, that's the message from today's show. Annika Rice, thank you so much for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. This has been such a privilege. I'm so happy that you came on the show and it's been wonderful. Thank you.
I have to say I'm exhausted.
Oh, absolutely shattered. Absolutely shattered. If you could paint a naked me, though.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Funny you should say that. Right. As with my spare hand, I'm already assembling the paints and the easel.
Great. Thank you very much. With blue glasses on, please, obviously.
Yeah.
Great.
Blue. Okay.
It's all about
that. I will. Send me a picture of you in the buff and I'll crack on.
Yeah, I've got lots to choose from. So I'll unsolicited.
Oh dear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. Bye.
The fantastic Annika Rice on My Mate Bought a Toaster. I enjoyed that far too much. Could you tell? It was quite obvious, wasn't it? Never mind, she's awesome. There you are. That's the Annika Rice episode. Next week is going to be the turn of Philippa Perry. That episode is going to be landing very, very soon on Patreon. I'll tell you what else is arriving on Patreon in the next couple of days. The one and only Adam Buxton, who I'm very happy to say I managed to get on the podcast earlier on this week. I've edited it and I'm going to stick it out on Patreon very soon indeed. Would you like to hear the sound of Adam Buxton preparing to come on the podcast? This is what Adam Buxton does when he's recording but hasn't yet started the interview and he's waiting for the Zoom to load.
Getting on the call, the Zoom call with Tom Price. It's nice, that's not a good rhyme. To go with nice, it's too obvious. So yes, here we go. I'm listening to the radio. Well, not the radio, but Spotify. It's 21 Pilots and Saturday. It's the kind of song that I really like. It makes me happy 'cause I'm a bit thick. Here we go. That's too many pilots. Please wait. The meeting host will let you in soon. Adam Buxton Toaster. Here we go, connecting. Dun, 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 dun. Da-da. Who's this old guy? You've got a moustache.
To be fair, if you are wearing an unexpected moustache on a video call, you should really text someone first just to warn them. To be honest, so that is kind of my bad. Anyway, Adam Buxton, that is going to be up on Patreon in the next few days. Thanks for listening to this wonderful episode with Annika Rice. Tell your friends, tell Twitter, tell Facebook, tell your nan, and I'll be back next week with Philippa Perry. Cheerio now.
GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monks.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic. Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page? It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question.
If
you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps. That's not my... just
can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.